This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This message will self-destruct. What time is it?
Danger! It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan. Good morning. Hello.
Oh, wait, hold on. What is happening?
Yep.
Hold on.
Well,
I didn't miss it. I didn't miss it.
Red Polly.
23 Dallas, ready?
24 Reno.
Blue 58.
Rambo.
Blue 58.
24 double Puma on one.
Yeah. Here we go.
You're right, Dak.
Come on.
Here we go.
Come on. We're ready to go.
No, I don't.
Here we go.
Cooper Rush is still making that call.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
It's got to be a little emasculating, does it not? Like, that's not your call.
I think it's the team thing.
It's a Dak thing.
I think it's a system thing.
I know. I connect that with Dak, though. Come up with your own.
Well, does Green Bay...
Ready, set!
Does Jordan Love still say Green 19, or did Rodgers take that in the divorce?
I think he got that in the divorce.
Because he still is wearing green.
He is still wearing green, and he, I believe, still says
what
green.
What does Jordan Love say?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know Jordan Love's call.
Well, I'm going to have to watch that game this weekend very closely with the sound up. Now I'm curious, because I don't think... I feel like if he did Green 19 regularly, we would know that, and that would stand out.
I don't think I know most of the quarterback's calls.
No, Dak's one of the few that you notice immediately.
Rodgers, Green 19.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a couple others top of my head. I don't know most of them.
That's all I got.
I don't know
really.
What Herbert's is.
They
no.
really change him up like with their team. I thought it was just kind of since high school they picked like a color and a number and they stuck to it. And they mean nothing. So
Well, not always. They don't always mean
they
nothing,
always
Schultz.
Mean nothing.
Sometimes they mean something. And you don't know if they mean something.
Blue poncho.
Or if they mean nothing. That's the whole point of the dummy call. Does it mean something or not?
Okay.
I feel like there's not many though in the league that do the Peyton Omaha, the Dak Prescott, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Like, I feel like most other quarterbacks at that point have something different on, like, they don't have the same thing every time they hike the ball. It's a very unique Dak Prescott thing.
What would you prefer your quarterback to have the same thing?
I want him
thing?
To mix it up, man.
Really?
I want you to change a pace. Give me a curveball every now and then. Give me a yellow. Give me a red. Give me a green.
Thank
I don't know
you.
What's coming at me.
Does he utilize the yeah, here we go well enough for, like, to draw as the fire alarms are being tested in our building? We were told it wouldn't be going off during the show, and here we are.
3 minutes into our 6:03.
The guy that let me into the building this morning, I was like, had my keys out. He opened the door for me and said, hey, sorry, we're having the fire alarms going off.
Guys, if okay. I pass out over here, you might have to come help me. Like, I'll be okay, but like, I just don't do well with flashing lights.
Oh, so, that's
like,
lovely.
Are you a seizure guy?
I don't seize, but it just...
Yeah.
Okay. Don't look that way.
Don't look to your right.
Try not to.
Look to your left.
Look at me. I am the captain.
Put your head down. Head down between your legs. Take some deep breaths, okay?
Yeah, but like, do you think that Dak uses it enough in his favor? Because if he goes, yeah, here we go, I would assume as an edge rusher, ball's about to be snapped. Does he dummy out of that very often?
Based on the Cowboys season this year, I would go ahead and say no, he doesn't.
Like, does he go, yeah, here we go, go, wait,
yeah,
and then the edge just waits? Like, I don't feel like he uses
How often do you get back-to-back, here we go?
Yeah, here we go!
I feel like when he says, yeah, here we go, he's legitimately telling you, I'm gonna snap the ball, and he never gets out of that.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, you're gonna see him do, like, three or four awkwardly high knee raises, because he has that big step that he does before he hikes the ball as well, where his knee is basically to the height of his nipples, and he does, like, a couple of those, goes up and down and up and down, so that might delay the hike a little bit after the here we go, but he never gives you multiple here we goes.
I've never heard multiple here we goes. I've heard him maybe like do like a set or something after like a here we
sure.
go.
Yeah. He's never, and I wish that they would get up to the line and he'd be like, yes, and just go. Like, come on, dude. Like,
throw him off a little bit. Off. That's a great point. Why don't they ever do that? Go quick.
Because Football Friday, we're debating, yeah, here we go, with a quarterback who's not even playing the rest of the season.
And we're burying the lead here during a fire alarm. I want a full report from last night. How was it? What's the grade? What's the reaction? How do we feel? What happened?
Dinner was delightful. Good. Went and got ramen not too far away from the Moda Center in a place that I really like.
Love ramen, especially on a cold, wintry night.
I told my wife, I don't know how, but when I first started dating her and largely all of college, it's crazy how much food I used to eat. And now we split a bowl of ramen, and then we split the bowl she got, which was a beef bowl.
That's all you guys do, really? You split two different meals?
It's kind of the sweet spot, yeah. I don't know how I used to eat as much food as I used to eat now. I eat, you know, a decent portion, nothing crazy, and I call it good. So we had a nice dinner. We get there, and the setup was about what I expected.
Mm-hmm. Theater of the Clouds.
Two chairs on a stage, some Curb Your Enthusiasm signage, some like kind of Curb-ish theme music playing.
A little bump, bump, bump.
Do you know where that music comes from, by the way?
I do not know.
He saw it on an Ally Bank commercial in Los Angeles.
Love it.
In like 1998. And he said this, he has a journal, and anything he observes, he memorizes it, and then he goes and he writes it. And sometimes he'll go to a page, he'll call back to it, and he'll use it in the past it was Seinfeld, and then more recently in Curb. He wrote down Ally Bank commercial, 1998. He told the assistant, find out what song that is. And then like 3 years later, Curb was starting, and he went, hey, didn't I told you to go find a song, didn't I? And the assistant basically was like, yeah. And they found it, and that's how the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme got going.
Imagine being that guy, playing the instrument, and then all of a sudden you get a call from a representative of Larry David. How much money do you think you make making a song for a bank commercial in L.A. in 1998?
I mean, you probably make an okay amount of money to do
couple,
that.
A couple grand or a couple hundred. You know, like, a couple grand. Nothing crazy.
No, and then I'd say a couple hundred. If it's for a commercial, it's regionally based.
30-second like, commercial.
Yeah, you've got to like, you know, arrange it yourself and write it. Like, you're getting a pretty penny for that. Yeah, but then when you get on sitcom TV, oh my God.
You something have a couple hundred dollars is a pretty penny?
I was saying a couple hundred thousand.
Oh.
No, these guys, like.
You think a local bank local bank paid for like LA? 100 grand?
Really?
If it's for a jingle that they're going to use, or if it's a piece of music, okay, if he wrote it specifically for the commercial, he got more. If it was just a song
and they took the license
from him, he got a lot less.
Okay. So he says the theme when he sees it in his head is the curtain rising up to show you the circus and then closing down is kind of how it ends. It's like how he sees that music, which is why he uses it for the show.
Pretty fitting for the show.
It was kind of what I expected.
Yeah.
I didn't go in and go, oh, this is going to be the funniest, greatest thing I've ever seen. This was more largely for me. I just want to say that I saw him.
He just in person. Larry David was there.
Saw him in person. I didn't have the best seats in the world, but I wasn't going to spend past a certain amount. I've seen Jerry Seinfeld in person twice, and now I've seen Larry David.
Yeah.
Very different shows those are. It was it was fine.
Was it like a Q&A? So that's kind of how it went. So it was one guy. Who was the moderator?
The moderator was not a local person.
Ah.
He had a executive producer slash writer that's worked with him since Seinfeld and then worked with him in Curb. So the guy's known him forever.
Yeah.
He was basically, you could tell they had like a script set of what they were going to do and how they were going to do it.
How many laughs?
Well, that's the thing. So I it was an interesting show. When you're saying you're having a conversation and it's quite literally a guy coming out talking to his friend, I don't know if the crowd knew how to react.
Yeah.
And so, like, everybody there is a diehard Curb, Larry, Seinfeld fan, right? But, like, when he came out, Larry David, it was like the front row stood up and clapped. I was clapping, you know, people were clapping, but it wasn't that loud.
It's like a golf clap almost.
A little louder than that, but not as loud as you'd think it would be for the intro of the show. And then he sits down, and every time he's making himself laugh, rethinking about stories.
No.
Well, no, it was funny because sometimes you're kind of seeing how he sees this in his own head.
Well, that's interesting as hell.
The laughs weren't very loud.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I would actually say this. I told my wife this. I think he walked off the stage, and partially I'll tell you why he walked off the stage this way, but the feel I got was he walked off the stage, and I wouldn't be stunned if as soon as his mic was killed, he goes, that crowd sucked.
They weren't into it tonight.
It was a weird crowd. It was a weird crowd, but I also don't know if any of the crowd knew how to react to a show like that.
I think they were all not all, that's too aggressive. I bet a lot of them, when they just saw Larry David in Portland, I'm buying tickets, expected him to come out and do stand-up.
But why would you expect that? He hasn't done stand-up in like 40 years.
I don't think we live in a very smart country.
It also was called A Conversation with Larry David.
I think they expected it to be a comedy hour where he's going to try some material, give you some jokes, you're going to laugh, let's all go home, ha ha ha, that was wonderful. Totally different when it's just a Q&A and you're learning about a guy and his career and his processes and all that stuff.
Yeah, Adam Sandler's doing like a variety show, right? Or he's done a couple tours.
He plays
of
music,
that.
He does a little stand-up, exactly. He shares some stories.
Brings some of his co-stars in from all of his Happy Madison movies. Yep. Like, maybe you expected that a little bit more, because now when you see a comedian out on the road, there's six or seven options of what they could do as opposed to just straight stand-up.
Well, I don't
maybe
put him
I'm the only one that knows that.
I don't put him in traditional stand. You guys are putting him in a stand-up box. And
I don't put him in that. I just think people thought that. I think when people bought tickets, I guarantee you there were some that thought this is going to be a comedy show.
Then those people are kind of dumb. I was expecting some comedy, but not in maybe the traditional way that you're describing.
How many times did you laugh? How long was the show? How many chuckles did we get out of
you? I came out of the stage at like 7:45. I did have like a little fanboy moment. I was sitting at the 300 section, but I was center of the stage, and you could see over the curtain. So if you were in the 200 or the 100, you couldn't see past this curtain, but above. And I saw him walk out, and it was kind of dark. I'm like,
Larry!
Here he is?
Larry!
Here he is!
Larry!
Oh, my God! I wasn't cracking up, but I laughed pretty consistently throughout.
Yeah, kind of chuckle throughout.
Chuckle laughs. Yeah, like, oh, that was funny, or that that's good. A good point. I was more interested in hearing his storytelling. The really cool part of the show was they showed the note cards of the outlines of like three Curb skits. So everything on Curb's improvised, right? It has the general story of where the episode's going, but each actor and actresses only have like, in this scene, this, improvised.
It's a guideline. It's not a script, essentially.
Basically, okay. And so they show the cue card of what the actor and actresses see, and then they show what the scene was in the show.
Ah.
And I really love that stuff. That's the sausage being made that I love.
How did you end up with that scene? This was the prompt, and that's how you got there.
And I really liked it. Now, this is where I think I came to the conclusion of why he walked off and probably thought Portland's one of the worst cities of this tour. He does Q&A at the end.
Uh-oh.
With the crowd. And so it's like, raise your hand. And you got like four people running around with little, like, all right, let's go to one. And it's legitimately people in the audience. And they're, you know, they're largely all in the 100 section or on the floor. And I think there was two good questions. there was some really... had secondhand embarrassment.
Give us a bad question.
I'll start with the very first one. It was a gal and she just grabbed the microphone is... put in her face, and she goes, turns around, hey, Portland!
Oh, God.
And everybody's like, ugh. And he has already, at this point, said twice in the show, why do people get so excited about hearing their own city?
So stupid.
Thank you.
And so she says,
"We love you, Portland."
Yeah. And so she's like, "Hey, Portland." It was just like, Oh God.
This isn't your moment. You're not going to be a star. Just ask the question.
I went viral.
So I don't remember what her question was. The next person basically starts with, "Hey, Larry, I brought my friend here who lost his leg in a motorcycle accident."
Oh, okay. We're off to a good
and
start.
Everybody's like,
what is happening right
and
now?
And then she goes, "So I could use the handicap pass."
Oh, so she,
this is a callback
from
to
the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
And like,
so, or Seinfeld, where they use,
yes,
they park in the handicap spot. Yeah, and then
that's the thing, though, is people forget he left that show for a few seasons.
He
so,
did.
Like, I don't know what episode that was and where he was in the show. And also, I don't think he remembers half of the stuff. The writer had to, like, remind, and he'd be like, "Oh, that's right." Like, he's not obsessed with the stuff he makes the way that we are, right?
No.
So, the questions are just terrible. One girl got the mic and was like, "If you were 30 years younger, I'd totally F you."
Oh.
And he just like, okay.
Thanks.
You know how many times I've heard that at this point?
Thank
like,
you.
God, that's
it was just.
I got $1 billion in the bank. I'm not surprised by that.
It didn't really end well. I think of like the 7 to 9 questions.
Disappointed in our city, man.
There was 2 questions. One was really good. One was a black guy was like, "Hey, did you feel okay saying the N-word in that one episode of Curb?" And he basically said, I never used that word. And he goes, "But if you're retelling the story..." And he goes, "No, I felt no shame at all about that moment, in the moment, doing what I did."
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of it. Nobody asked him about RFK's wife, but I don't know if he was told not to, if they were told not to ask those kind of
questions. Might have been a mic thing, like, "Hey, nothing on Cheryl Hines. Shut that down right now. No
questions." There was a really good story about, who was his friend just passed? I'm just blanking right now.
Oh, yeah.
The main character.
The main character?
His friend just died.
Gosh, what's his name?
Lewis.
Oh, Lewis Black.
Lewis Black,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's
not,
Lewis
no,
Black.
No,
hold on.
Not Lewis Black. Richard Lewis.
Thank God, you.
Richard
you
Lewis.
Of all the people let me down like, there.
He's still screaming, Lewis Black?
I mean, that was a while ago that he died.
Well, was it?
It was,
I told my wife it was like 9 months ago. I don't remember.
No, that was last February. It was almost a year ago.
Really?
Yeah.
But he was asked about, God.
Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis. And he gave a really good little anecdote about that. So that was good. But he literally, the guy was trying to like keep questions going. And he just stands up and goes, "Okay, good night." And he just walked off. And right. I'm like, eh.
All right, that's it.
Thank I think you, the questions you, killed the vibe.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry.
Let's give a little bit of making the sausage here on Talk Radio. That entire like last segment of the show or whatever, that is the reason why we love text messages and not phone calls in today's version of talk.
Yeah.
It's useless to go to some people on the line because they sound like that. "Hey, what's up, Portland? Hey, how you doing, guys?" You gotta deal with 70 people ask you, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm sure everybody did that to Larry David. "Oh, Larry, how are you?"
"I'm doing good. Yeah.
I'm making a ton of money. I'm here. I'm entertaining you." Yeah, ask the question, damn it.
Like a gal stands up and goes, "I have a 33-year-old autistic brother, and he loves you."
Okay, thank you.
And then he's just like, "What kind of crowd is this?"
Yeah, what do I
and
say
then
to
she goes,
that?
"He's in Minnesota, though. He's not here." And he's like, "Okay.
All right, can we FaceTime him? Can I put him on the microphone? What's the point of
and
the
she
story?"
goes, "What kind of advice would you give him?" And he goes, "Stay single." Yeah.
that's pretty good.
The questions were terrible.
That's brutal.
They killed the vibe.
That's a tough way to end the show. A cool moment to see him, to kind of put on the bucket list and say you saw one of the greatest comedic minds of all time.
He was asked about bucket list. Said, "Seeing you is on a bucket list of mine. What's on your bucket list?" He goes, "I don't believe in bucket lists."
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I
hate that term.
We're all going to die. What's the point?
He said he embraced his baldness at a young age because he went bald pretty young. He said, "I'm actually the most proud of all the things I've done of how well I embraced my baldness." He goes, "I actually wasn't surprised that I went bald. Nothing went well in my life.
Yeah.
Why would I not go bald?"
This is the way it's going to work out for me.
I was destined to be bald.
The sides in the back holding on top. I mean, he's still got something up there. Never went cue ball.
No.
Just the top of the head. He lost it and he embraced it, and that's kind of been his look for a long time.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was a fine show. I had secondhand embarrassment for our city. I don't think he really enjoyed this crowd.
So Larry David not coming back to Portland. Not doing that, probably.
Not doing that one again.
Probably not doing that.
It's the last time we got a chance to see him.
Well, we have a lot to get into. Let's move on from Larry David and bad questions. It is a football Friday, my man.
Damn right it is.
And we're going to start with what happened last night. I just finished recapping one of the two things. Also, another delightful thing that I saw when I got home from that show. We'll Sprague the Line at 8:30 and Josh Pate at 7:30. So we'll catch up with our buddy Josh Pate this week. We haven't talked to him. 7:30, he'll join us for the Daily Ticker. Dirt and Sprague, get it going next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I missed two events last night going to that Larry David show, one of which I caught up and actually watched all of this morning.
Turned out to be a really good little sports night last night.
Yeah, it seemed that way. And checking in final results, I watched, woke up, and ESPN Plus had the Oregon State game on demand. And so I could fast forward through the pre, the commercials, the halftime, the timeouts.
Easy way to watch a game.
Very easy way, very quickly. And it literally ended right as our show music started, the very end where the Oregon State Beavs tried to tie the game. After blowing a 12-point lead.
Just a hair strong on that last attempt. And good luck, though.
It was a good attempt. And then I saw that we had a snow football game yesterday.
It was a thing of beauty, man.
It was a mess, but it was awesome.
It was so much fun.
So you guys both watched all of it.
Every second of it.
Yep.
Going in, I didn't think I was going to watch. I'd be like, that was a background game for me, Steelers and Browns. And I had it on. I guess I didn't watch every second of the first half. We took the dog and the kid for a walk, you know, had dinner and that kind of stuff. But by the time everything was settled down and the snow started to pick up, dude, you give me snow football this time of year, I don't care who's playing. It could be two MAC teams. It could be two high school teams. I don't care. I'm watching every second of that game.
Brutal if you had the Steelers because they were down 18-6. Then they came back and took the lead 19-18. And then a penalty kept a Brown drive going. And somehow the Cleveland Browns ended up winning.
The end of that game was really clunky with a 3rd-and-2 or a 4th-and-2 or a 3rd-and-7. Are we accepting a penalty or declining a penalty? And then Pittsburgh used a timeout. And everybody's like, well, why are you using a timeout here? And then they picked up the first down anyways. It is funny that sometimes I remember talking about this on the show yesterday. Trends are whatever, right? Like, you know, what happened 7 years ago has no bearing on what's going to happen in last night's football game. But then you hear the stats sometimes and you're like, Mike Tomlin's never won a road divisional Thursday night game. He's 0-6 all time.
Struggles against the Browns, too.
Never done it.
I don't know what that is.
So, they got off to an okay start, and then they found their way back into the game and took the lead. And you're like, oh, maybe he's finally going to win this thing. And then good old Jameis Winston squinting in the snow doing snow angels made a couple of plays. That was a lot of snow. It's one thing to get, like, a dusting, but by the time you get to the end of the game and you got to, like, superimpose the lines, which I was kind of anti. I just want chaos on my TV. I don't want to know where they're at, how far they need to go.
You don't want them to
I don't want the superimposed lines because they didn't put them on the field.
But
they
just know where
they just had them on TV. I just want it to be a big mosh pit of football where nobody knows how far they got to go. He's already guessing anyways. The guy's senile. He doesn't know what day of the week it is.
But you're broadcasting. Imagine calling that game and you don't know. They're at the
What yard line are
you? You kind of guessed that. Give or take the 47, maybe?
Looks what if like it's like the 27?
Slightly over midfield. Well, they cleared the end zone lines on the field. Yeah. So you could tell where the end zones were. And then everything in between, just kind of let's guess. Let's figure it out.
We need to get to the dirty poll today. We did not get to that yesterday.
We forgot the dirty poll yesterday.
You forgot it. Yeah. I forgot it. Everybody I don't know how forgot we forgot it.
Everybody
we
forgot it.
Yeah. We love the dirty poll. Somehow we just, I didn't put it on my show sheet like an idiot. You didn't remind me. It was just, we completely let the people down.
Happens from time to time.
Are your Ducks good?
I don't know.
Because my team, I think, can be better than projected in their conference, in their WCC conference. They're, you know, they're scrappy. They had a 12-point lead in that game, 10-point halftime lead.
A little foul trouble. Couldn't make a shot in the second half.
Well,
too many turnovers.
Kings didn't do anything in the first half, literally. And then he's 1-for-4 in the game. Yeah. Miner shot himself out of the game, 3-of-13. Like, we had a lot of guys struggle that are kind of supposed to carry us, whereas, like, I was trying to gauge how I felt about Oregon, and I don't know what the Big Ten is this year because I didn't dive into preseason Big Ten stuff.
No.
But, like, Kwame Evans didn't play.
Not much, no.
He's a top 15 lottery guy. Like, he's a first-round dude. He barely played. Biddle played. Mookie Cook's not playing. I don't really know your team much, but like watching, I was surprised certain names didn't play more.
I was also surprised by that. As somebody who's not watched a lot of Oregon basketball early in the season, was surprised that Evans and Mookie Cook weren't a bigger part of the lineup. But that also, I don't know if that's been the case all year. I looked at their game logs, and they've each had games where they played decent minutes, and then games where they're just not really a part of the rotation. Wasn't an injury, wasn't foul trouble. Part of it, I think, was Biddle had a really big second half, so they just kind of rode him.
And Evans can't really shoot.
He's not a big-time scorer,
so
no.
So it's like more of a stretch out the Oregon State defense.
He's more
thing.
Of a defender kind of guy. And look, when Biddle has a career-high 23 points, they just kept dumping it to him, and he was like throwing up all sorts of weird backwards hook shots, sideways, you know, flip over the head, and everything was going in seemingly in the paint. So I think they just rode with that, and then Shellstad took over in the second half. He knocked down some big threes. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how he made that last shot to put him up by three.
That
just
little runner on the
running
side.
Running down to the baseline, like, it's kind of flip this up, and it went in. It kind of summed up the second half for them. And it was an entertaining game. I think that was tough for Tinkle to have that kind of lead. There was a video of him. He went out in front of the stadium before of Gill and was like high-fiving the students.
Yeah, they set a student attendance record. Well, they said they set a student attendance record.
Which is good.
Yesterday.
Like, he was giving, like, let's go, we need you to be loud. And they were pretty loud in the first half. They were up by 10. Oregon was rattled. They weren't playing very good. It felt like it was going to be Oregon State's night, and I know that hasn't been a rivalry they've won much lately. And then the second half happened, and Oregon was able to crank up the defense, force some turnovers. Shellstad got hot late. They had no answer for Biddle. A couple of questionable foul calls definitely happened in the second half of that game. But the thing about Dane Altman that I will always remind myself is that they get better as the year goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever they are right now,
they're 5-0 is what they are.
They're off to a good start. They haven't played their way out of a seed in the NCAA tournament yet, which is good. They almost lost to the University of Portland. They're going to be a different team in 2 months because that's just the way his seasons usually go.
So I feel like I've watched that Oregon State basketball game 80 times in the last 10 years.
I think that's the last 5 times they played at Gill.
Like,
it's
Oregon
been back
State
and
up,
forth.
And then Oregon comes back. They usually play clamp down defense. Oregon State goes cold. Oh my God, this guy hit a shot. Ducks up too.
Yeah, last year it was in Folly Dante who had a dunk with like 10 seconds
and
left.
And that's that game just ended up being exactly what I've watched. And so like I saw that game this morning. The one thing I enjoyed in watching this morning, PJ Carlissimo's disdain for the officiating in the second half of that basketball game.
I love PJ. I'm a big PJ
guy. I like PJ on the call of that one. Him just openly like, you know, there's a lot of fouls here. What are we doing?
I can't do a good
sense.
PJ Carlissimo. It's too deep.
You got to go raspy. You got to go raspy
a
little
deep,
bit.
Deep raspy voice.
I don't know what's happening.
That's not good.
That wasn't good.
The referees do like to insinuate themselves in college basketball more than
They love it. They absolutely love it.
The second half was the whistles got, you know.
I mean, yeah,
more
but
intense.
The Beavers did only what final 8.5 score. I think 9 total points.
And you make a shot over there, huh? Quit blaming the officials.
Well, I thought it was funny. PJ had a moment where Oregon went to the free throw and he goes, you know, Oregon's got 10 free throw attempts.
Oregon State doesn't have that many.
You guys aren't attacking the hoop enough.
Look at PJ wearing some orange and black right now.
Yeah, let's go.
Go to the paint. What are we doing? Get in the paint. Go take it to the rim. Quit jacking up jumpers, all right? You mean we're going to get any foul calls out there?
Contrary to what some of the mentions say, no, I'm not coming in all rough. It's games into like a 31-game basketball season.
All right. It's all right. We can all feel your pain.
I'll be okay.
I don't know if he will, but he won't be okay.
We play in the WCC and the
Pac-12. The bag is ready to go over the head. It's all right. Don't worry. Things will be okay.
I keep telling myself, this team's got some experience. They also got some like transfer guys. They're playing largely, and I know the Pac-12 hasn't been great in hoops, but they are playing in the WCC. They should be able to hang.
That's going to help you a little
with
bit.
With most of the teams.
The logos on the floor was weird. First Oregon State game that. I saw, yeah. And you're just like, we're going. We got both. All right, so check both boxes there. I actually did come away with the game pretty impressed with Oregon State. Like, I don't know a lot about their roster. I know they went deep international to go find their guys. A couple of moments where guys were maybe a little confused on rules. They had one of their bigs who had a cylinder foul where the ball was over the cylinder, was going to go in anyways. But if you're playing internationally, that's not you can do that.
Out,
you can tap it in or tip it in or whatever. And he tipped it in and ended up taking a bucket away. That had a pretty big impact on the final possession of the game when you look up 10 minutes later. So I was impressed with the way that they played. They just, Oregon can kind of tighten the screws defensively on you. Too many turnovers in the second half. They gave Oregon way too many easy buckets.
Let's get to the dirty poll. Dirt's top 12 in college football next on The Fan. Look, I will never be probably a national voice of any note. Today is exactly why a lot of America hates watching national sports channels. It has been a half hour now of where should Deion Sanders coach?
Really?
That's been the topic all week, man. Once they get on it, they don't back off.
He's currently coaching right now at a place that's competing for the playoff, and your topics are, let's take Deion Sanders away from a place we don't want to talk about. Where would we want to talk about him?
Do you believe now?
This is a huge problem in our sports media landscape. I digress.
This is why we're here. We'll talk Colorado at Kansas today on the show.
We have dropped the ball this week. We normally every Thursday at 6:30 get to the top 12 dirty poll, according to one Andy Der Johnson.
Yes.
We did not do that yesterday. I got home and I looked at my show sheet. I started planning early because I knew I had Larry David. And I'm like, oh my God, we didn't do the dirty poll. How dare us?
How dare we?
So let's get to it. Your top 12 in college football, the dirty poll. The ladies love it. The guys love it.
We're getting spicy this week. Not very spicy, but mildly spicy.
I feel like you're becoming guy in corner, just backing down, like punching at everybody because you've been all over the place on this one.
Look, we change our model as the year goes on. New
Georgia
information
Tech?
Comes in.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Georgia Tech's having a good. They won a game last night. They're bowl eligible back-to-back years. For the first time in a decade.
And NC State covered, so that's awesome. My degenerate ass liked that.
Did you gamble on NC State last night?
I had a 12 parlay hook.
You have a problem.
No, it got hooked by the Steelers. I almost won $3,000. It was a mess.
So, here we go. Dirty poll. There's only one. There's a new team in this week that wasn't in it last week. That's the only change.
Okay.
Because one team has dropped out, one team is in. So we'll go through it. The spiciness will come from one of the conference champions. So my three of the four is staying the same. Oregon in the Big Ten, Miami in the ACC, Colorado in the Big 12.
Wait, what?
Hold on.
What are you doing?
I'll give it to you. Okay. Hold on. Take a deep breath. The number two seed this week in the dirty poll is the team that I believe is going to win the SEC because of how the final 2 weeks of the regular season are going to shake out. And that is the Alabama Crimson Tide. When you look at tiebreaker scenarios, there's a million of them. So it's hard. You're like really into the weeds on this. But it eventually could come down to a bunch of two-loss teams and it coming down to common SEC opponent record, blah, blah, blah. I think A&M is going to lose this weekend on the road at Auburn. And then I think they're going to beat Texas in the final week of the regular
season.
Peyton
Thorne's going to beat Texas A&M.
I think Peyton and Thorne's going to beat Texas A&M. Okay. And then I think Texas A&M is going to beat Texas in the final week.
Wow.
If Texas loses in the final week of the regular season, they are out of the college football playoff. They don't have a quality win. They don't have a top 25 win.
They will drop. Okay, Sprague, you keep holding on to that take.
They're still going to get five SEC teams in, but
be one of them.
No, they will not. So your number one seed is Oregon in the Big Ten. Your number two seed is Alabama in the SEC.
Yeah.
Your number three seed is Miami in the ACC. And your number four seed is Colorado.
Should have two
out of the Big 12.
Champion be ahead of a one loss.
Yes,
champion.
They should. Okay. Yes, they should.
All right, and who's,
Miami hasn't beaten a ranked team all year.
And you think Colorado wins the Big 12?
So and I think
fourth?
Colorado wins the Big 12, so they're fourth. Miami beat a team. They'll get a chance in the ACC title game, but it won't be the same as Alabama winning the SEC.
Okay,
5 through 12.
So Alabama was already in my playoff. Now I've just slotted them into the top four. So 5 through 12, the newcomer, you'll get to them in a bit. 5 is Ohio State. I think they're going to win out. Mm. I don't think they're going to be punished for losing the Big Ten title game in this scenario, which I have them doing.
Okay.
Saying they should be ranked behind Penn State because they have 2 losses, even though they beat Penn State head-to-head in their own building and they had to play an extra game makes literally no sense. Ohio State's 5. Penn State 6 is a 1-loss team. Ole Miss number 7. So slotting everybody up a little bit with Texas dropping out. Notre Dame 8. Georgia number 9.
You are not doing this the way you've done it the previous 2 weeks, but you did it this way 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. You see, you're on your toes? Can we write these down quick enough?
No, you need to
slow down.
Okay. These are the playoffs, so you're supposed to do the 5 versus 12.
I'm giving you 1 through 12, and then I'm going to give you the matchups. Okay? You doing all right over there?
I'm doing okay.
I know you're a little tired. Notre Dame 8, Georgia 9, the Indiana Hoosiers,
yes,
who I think with the news of the center going down for Ohio State got a nice boost, man. Their offensive line is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Was an issue going in. I still think Ohio State's going to win that game, but I think it allows Indiana to hang around a little bit more.
Okay.
1-loss Indiana will be in if they're competitive this weekend. Tennessee 11 and then Boise State 12. So your first round matchups would be Ohio State versus Boise State,
mm-hmm,
Penn State versus Tennessee, hosting Tennessee, Ole Miss hosting Indiana, and Georgia going on the road to South Bend, Indiana, and taking on Notre Dame. So the only change this week from last week is Alabama into the top four, Indiana into the playoff, and Texas out of the playoff. There is your dirty poll.
I'm trying to look at this. I think 2 of the 4 first-round road teams are favorites.
Yeah, that the mock
lines. Is Tennessee
lines,
a favorite at Penn State, or does Penn State get enough respect at home to be favored over Tennessee?
So how do you feel about Tennessee and Ole Miss? Are they the same to you? Because the mock playoff this week that the committee put out had Ole Miss on the road at Penn State, and lines projected lines came out.
It's a tough
they
one.
Were a favorite. Ole Miss was a favorite on the road.
Yeah, no, I yeah.
Or maybe it was Georgia at Penn State and Ole Miss at Notre Dame.
I mean, I think
vice
Ole Miss
versa.
And yeah, I don't know. And then the other one is Georgia's definitely going to be a favorite at Notre Dame. They
Not
might be
no.
a decent favorite, actually.
I would go like find 7. Somewhere to bet that.
I think everybody in America yeah. would outside of the Golden Domers.
Yes.
Now, which teams in which spots make you feel the least confident doing the dirty poll?
Like they're actually going to be there at the end of the season?
Yeah, the one you've kind of circled and you go, God, I hope I'm right on this. But
Alabama, it's Alabama now. I'm planting my flag there because there's a lot of dominoes that need to fall. I need A&M to lose this weekend to Auburn, and then I need them to bounce back and beat Texas at home in the final week. But Texas is, I don't know how close you guys have watched Texas.
I've gone over
their resume a ton. They don't have a high quality win. They're the Penn State of the SEC, and I think we should treat all of them equally. And I don't. Look, I know that this whole two-loss SEC debate leads to a controversial thing, but a lot of those two-loss teams have high-quality wins.
Sure.
That you can say, well, they lost to Kentucky. It's, yeah, but then they dominated Georgia. So there's a win that they can say, we hang our hat on that. And Texas right now doesn't have that.
They don't have a single one.
No, they have one big game that they played all year, and they were embarrassed in their own stadium, and their starting quarterback was benched. It wasn't like, dang, Ohio State went on the road and lost by a point. Darn it. Or Penn State hosted Ohio State, and they had the ball inside the 5-yard line with a chance to win. They were embarrassed in their own stadium, and Carson Beck threw 3 picks in that game, and Georgia couldn't move the ball, and they still lost by multiple scores. So the A&M losing this weekend would also hurt their resume, because if A&M wins, that's a borderline top 12, top 13 win that they could get in the last week of the regular season. But they looked a little clunky against Arkansas. And then don't forget, people are going to point to that win over Florida a couple weeks ago. They beat them 49-17 at home.
Yeah.
DJ Lagway did not play in that game. I think if we know anything about Florida at this time of the year, they're a different team when DJ Lagway is playing than when their fourth string walk-on quarterback is playing, which is who they faced 2 weeks ago in Austin.
All right, there we go. The top 12 dirty poll, according to one, Andy Dirt Johnson. His number 1 seed is Oregon. Number 2 is Alabama. Number 3 is Miami. And number 4 is Colorado. Those are your byes. Your 5-12 is Ohio State hosting Boise State. Penn State at 6 would host 11-seeded Tennessee, according to him. 7-seeded Ole Miss would host 10-seeded Indiana, and 8-seed Notre Dame would host Georgia in the 8-9 matchup. Who plays the 8-9? Is that the 4?
8-9 plays 1.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I keep putting 5 and 12 there.
That's the whole point of why is the 5-seed better to get than the 1-seed, because you get likely the group of 5 team, although that's not guaranteed.
You get 4.
And then you would get the either ACC or Big 12 conference champion.
Man.
Georgia, but Oregon at the Rose Bowl.
There's no guarantee.
Can
that
you imagine?
There's no guarantee. I mean, I tend to believe that the four power conferences will get the byes, but there's no guarantee that that happens. And so the 12 seed could end up being a two-loss Georgia.
Do you want a hot take? I'll give you one no Duck fan would agree with. I think you want this. I think you want it. You want Georgia at the Rose Bowl?
We want any of them. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
They embarrassed you guys 2 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago, but yeah.
Well, it was three seasons, yeah. But 2 years ago, like, I would say, you want to win the title?
You have to beat them eventually. I don't care.
Knock
them
out early.
No.
Do it in the first game.
I ain't scared.
You shouldn't be scared.
I'm not scared anymore.
Honestly, I say this in all sincerity. It's not that Oregon can't be beat. There is not a team that should scare Oregon.
There is not a dominant team in the country this year. There is not an overwhelming, oh my God, nope. How is anybody going to hang with them? That team does not exist.
I like the dirty poll. I think I like this ranking.
What's the controversy if this ends up being the ranking? Who are we most pissed off on being in the playoff?
Being in the playoff?
Yeah, is it Tennessee? Does that make us livid?
I don't know if it makes us livid.
A lot of it will depend on what happens in the Big 12. Like, I think BYU is going to lose this weekend. That's part of the reason I don't have them in there.
Yeah.
Because they would have an argument. If they win and then maybe lose in the Big 12 title game, that could be your deciphering, like, two-loss SEC or two-loss Big 12, but the second loss came in a conference
I don't know if there's a lot of anger if this is the ranking.
I'd be pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Dirty poll. Put it out on Twitter. Put it out on Blue Sky. You can go see the top 12 according to one Andy Dirt Johnson. Did he nail it? I want to get to a couple things in college football next on 1080 The Fan. One of our listeners hit us up on Blue Sky. We're on both. We're still dabbling in both. Nobody needs to be upset by that.
My first Blue Sky was about snow football yesterday. I felt good about that.
I missed it.
Snow football, man. Nothing brings America together like a good snow football game.
One of our listeners says, maybe a hot take. I want to see a Brandon Sprague dirty poll right before the final playoff is released. So maybe the Friday.
It's hard because we won't know what the conference championships.
Championship
the selection Sunday. So the games are all Friday. I don't know if there's a game Friday anymore. The Pac-12 used to play Friday. Then everybody else played on Saturday.
The Pac-12 one is this weekend.
It is. The Pac-12 championship is this weekend. The Pac-2 championship. So,
did
yeah.
Did make a trophy for that? No.
You'll have to guess on who wins the conference championships because that'll have a bearing on who gets the
Let's
first round
that.
Buys.
Let's do that. Let's do Friday's show on the last week of conference championship week. Let's guess.
Okay.
And we'll give the caveat of, hey, we might be wrong here on the winners.
That's what the dirty poll is. I'm trying to guess what it's going to be at the end of the year.
We'll do that. That sounds like a fun idea.
I like it.
I don't do it. This is your segment. I like to just lay out, kind of wonder aloud about how you're viewing college football, make you feel insecure about some things.
Read through SEC tiebreakers, man. You
want to
go down a wormhole? That is a lot of common opponents? No. Okay. Next highest ranked winning percentage? No, okay, that's not it. You got to go down so many different layers to find the tiebreaker for the number two team.
It's another reason why I make you do that segment. I don't want to read all
that. Well, I just was thinking yesterday, I was like, dude, I don't think Texas is the best team in the SEC. Like,
no, I think
don't...
we agree largely together. We're on Texas. This is where we have kind of flipped. I don't know why, and I know what you're gonna do the Brandon Sprague thing. You're gonna point to the resume.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how a two-loss Ohio State or a two-loss Texas don't make it.
Yeah, Ohio State. Ohio State deserves to be in, even if they lose a close game this weekend. Especially if their second loss is in a Big Ten championship game. That's a non-starter for me.
If they lose this weekend, Indiana is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and even if they lose this weekend, Indiana, I would still have Ohio State in, and I would use the analogy I used the other day. When I look at the top of the Big Ten, they're the only team that had to play the other three legitimate contenders,
and they only won one of those.
They only won one of them, but Penn State only had to play one of them, and they lost.
Indiana like Penn State,
would have only had to have played one, and they would have won in that scenario. And Oregon would have only had to play one, and they won. So, if anything, I would kick Penn State out of the playoff before I kicked Ohio State out of the playoff. I don't get enamored with the number next to your name,
but
tell me how you got there. Ohio State beat Penn State. Sure. That is the end-all be-all for me in that argument.
I don't want to spend the segment entirely arguing or not arguing, but sounding like we're arguing on this. The funny part about what you see on Texas, their resume's weak. They don't have a big win. If they lose to A&M, you're like, they're out. I'm not convinced of that at all. They're Texas. And they're in the SEC with two losses.
Yeah, big brands matter.
What's funny is what you say is not inaccurate on Texas. What's funny is Penn State doesn't have another A&M game on their schedule. They lost their A&M game.
They're just sitting
and
there.
And you're gonna put them in. And you want to put them in because you want to be right on this. That's part of the reason you do the dirty polls. You want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. But it's funny that Penn State's A&M game, they lost. Their schedule sucks.
Yeah.
Texas loses their Ohio State game. And they're going to be out.
Yeah.
Because they lost also to Georgia.
They lost
they have two of those games.
They would have two, and they would have lost
both. And Penn State only had one of those games.
Which is why this is a ridiculous.
It's all stupid.
It's all stupid, and I don't just look at the number next to you. I'm with 100% on Penn State. If I were ranking teams right now, Like, if I had an AP vote, I would definitely have Ohio State ahead of them. I would have Indiana ahead of Penn State. I would have Notre Dame ahead of Penn State, and that might be laughable to some. I would consider having Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss all ahead of
just
Penn
State.
Just
knocking Penn State way down, yeah. ESPN is debating where Primetime should coach next year. Big news yesterday for him in Colorado, as we just do the real honest thing of, like, he's still coaching at a program that's competing for a Big 12 title game.
He's still there.
Julian Lewis, the second-ranked quarterback in the 25 class, flipped. He decommitted from USC this past weekend. He announced it yesterday. He flipped his commitment. He is a Colorado commit.
Yeah, that had been trending for a couple of weeks. It felt like after he decommitted, I think he took a visit to Georgia as well, if I'm not mistaken. So he took a couple of visits. And to be fair to USC in this, because, you know, everybody hears that and they think, oh, God, Lincoln Riley losing a quarterback. What's going on down there? He's already flipped another five-star quarterback that was committed to Texas A&M. So the second this kid decommitted, I think Houston Longstreet is his name.
It's all a big, so everybody knows how this is going to work out.
Everybody's making out with everybody at the party, and that's the way it's going to go. Yeah. But Julian Lewis going to Colorado is a major, major get for them. They need to go somewhere after Shador. We all know he's going to the NFL. Travis Hunter yesterday was like, yeah, dude, I'm going to be in the NFL. I'm not going to be here next year. And so I think that's been the lingering question. Like, Deion has proven me and a lot of other people wrong with what Colorado's done this season. I think they're going to win the Big 12. They got a big one this weekend on the road at Kansas. The question that I've always had is, They've landed a couple of big fish in recruiting. Like, Jordan Seaton was one of the highest ranked offensive tackles. I think he's been their starting left tackle all year this year. Mm-hmm. He's gotten individual success stories, but he hasn't been able to put together an entire class. So this is kind of another example of that.
It's not a highly ranked class, but
he's got a couple of nice players in there. And then I know he's going to hit the portal again because that's what he does. Yep. But what does that program and what do they look like as a team if he sticks around without Shador and Travis Hunter? They're a team that is so reliant on two players. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he can't get him there because they're clearly better around those two in year two than they were in year one. But that's why this is a big deal. He's got to figure out who his next quarterback is, and maybe it'll be Lewis right away next year.
We'll see if they win this week, and they could trip up a Kansas. But if they win, they're basically going to be going to the Big 12 title game. I think he is deserved the way other coaches at other programs who don't get talked about as much would be deserved of, let's see.
Yo, yeah.
You and I have largely called this out of, like, he doesn't recruit high school. Like, you can't do this in the – well, he's flipping a five-star quarterback, and he gets the kid who had the touchdown this past weekend for him as a freshman. He made a joke about it. Like, you know, let him evolve and learn. Mm-hmm. Maybe eventually he will recruit high school, and he'll figure this out. And I just – that was a big-time get for them. And then also I saw the number one quarterback in that class is Bryce Underwood.
This is a really big deal.
He flipped from LSU. He is going to go to Michigan. So what orgy, bye-bye, he's clearly not going to be at Michigan next year.
Because this kid's going to start right away. This kid is...
Well, I think him and Lewis are going to start. That's, yeah. If you're the coach at Michigan and Colorado, you're prime and you're more, how do you not do that? It gives you more job time. Two, I would just rather these kids, the way we do in the NFL, learn on the fly. It doesn't always go well. Rayola's had some ups, but he's had a lot of downs this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people, if he stays in Nebraska, thinks, okay, year two, here we go. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
That was massive and not a good look for Brian Kelly, who is struggling at LSU.
Yeah, these are both highly touted quarterbacks. I follow this stuff relatively closely. There are people that talk about Bryce Underwood as, like, one of the best high school recruit quarterbacks we have seen in 25 years.
What's,
like,
the I didn't
the comp is Cam Newton. He's 6'6", 230 pounds, okay. And he runs over everybody. He is the far and away unanimous best high school player in the country. And this is where, to me, it's a big deal here for us here locally, because Oregon got the benefit in year one of the Big Ten of Michigan being down. If you joined the Big Ten last year, Michigan was undefeated and won a national championship.
Yeah.
Michigan was obviously not that this year, and I think we've wondered where Sherrone Moore is going to take that thing. According to the metrics you look at, because I know some have Julian Lewis as a number two kid, a lot of the other metrics have another kid named Tavian St. Clair as a number two quarterback in the country. Number one, Bryce Underwood committed to Michigan. Number two, St. Clair committed to Ohio State. So just a reminder of what you're in for, and when those teams are recruiting at that level.
Those are dogs, man.
It's going to be a gauntlet you're going to have to go through every year. And this year you got a bit of a break with some of those other teams being down, Michigan mainly. They're going to give him a four-year, $10.5 million deal. That is the report. When you average it out,
Bryce Underwood?
Bryce Underwood. Mm. This has been kind of lingering in the background of, will LSU match it? LSU, from the reports yesterday, now I think some of this is made up, but I also think there's some truth to it.
Sure.
They weren't willing to go over about $1.5 million a year for like a two-year wait-and-see deal because they didn't want to commit 4 years and all those resources to him, with it being a question mark. I mean, he's a highly touted kid, but it's just not a guarantee. LSU fans are going to run him out of town.
Well, Kelly's already, I would say, trending towards they're ready to just get him out.
This was the thing he was hanging his hat on. Yeah. This was the thing of like, I know it's been a down year. I know we haven't lived up to the expectations. I have one of the best recruiting classes and the number one player in the country coming to school here next year, and he just flipped a week before National Signing Day.
It's been weird.
If I saw the way that Kelly was acting on the sidelines, I'd flip too. Are you kidding me? Be like, I don't think
they lost to Florida. They got boat raced by Alabama. Their season is falling apart.
Well, just his attitude, too.
His style of coaching is not appealing.
I'd much rather be with Sherrone Moore.
They're number six, by the way. They're ahead of Oregon in 25. That's the interesting thing about LSU's.
Wait for two more weeks though, because there's now murmurs that this kid leaving that class is going to crater.
Really?
He was that big of a linchpin of like, that's the number one player. I'm gonna go play with that guy. Watch Michigan's class now too in the next 2 weeks. There's already
Michigan's
rumors.
Nine, they're behind Oregon.
There's already rumors they're gonna flip one of the number one offensive tackles who's committed to Alabama and has been for a long time. He's gonna follow him. There's another player who was an LSU commit who was close to Underwood, who's likely gonna commit. The best part about this whole story. Do you know who Bryce Underwood's offensive coordinator is right now?
No.
Trent Dilfer? Who?
This is one of my favorite stories, and it's going to make people really upset. 3 weeks ago, as all of this stuff was heating up with him being recruited, the kid's from Michigan, by the way, so he's staying home at Michigan to go to Michigan. They hired to work on their high school staff Connor Stallions. I'm not kidding. This
That's
is a real story.
School. Oh, because
Connor Stallions was working in high school, and then
he
left one job, and then another school hired, and everybody's like, Connor Stallions high school football. What does that mean? Well, the whole thing was he is now the offensive coordinator for the number one player in the country who plays in the state of Michigan. And 3 weeks later,
it's so gross.
That kid commits to the University of Michigan. Now, finances is a big part of it, but sure, yeah. Connor Stallions, man, he's still getting the job done, dude.
$2.5 million.
I just tell you right now. If Michigan wins another title and that kid's the quarterback, Connor Stallions needs to have a statue.
He does.
He's given him two national championships. You can hate him. He could be a pariah. If he clearly helped make this flip happen. I don't care what he ever says publicly.
Yes,
very
yes.
quickly, and we'll go to the second hour, which we're already almost into. Look at Hugh Freeze randomly being ranked in the top five of recruiting classes again. I wonder what grossness is going on behind those scenes.
Nothing. They're not spending any money, man. It's all about the pride of the program, right? Isn't that how it works?
Some recruiting updates there in the battles. Dirt, your point on the whole pay attention to what's going on at Ohio State, Michigan, you're not wrong, and that's the fascinating part of all of this. Oregon having a great year on the field. They're doing good in recruiting, but then these two Big Ten teams picking up the top quarterbacks.
Yeah, a bit of news yesterday for them, too. DeCorian Moore, who's the number one wide receiver in the country.
He's going to sign on my birthday.
He has said that he will. Yep. No, he's shutting down any sort of interest in any other school, and so he will commit on signing day.
Loaded second hour, a lot to get to. Josh Pate at 7:30, hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.